One Focus Radio.
Welcome to the show, it's Dyer's Daily. Keeping in the know, it's Dyer's Daily. We've got chat, we've got discussion, nice and slow. Ain't no rushing, reading emails and events. Sometimes he makes no sense. It's time to start the show, it's Dyer's Daily. He'll be there in a mo, it's Dyer's Daily. We've got plays, we've got interviews, even stuff that's in the news, local and otherwise. Come and try it on for size, it's Dyer's Daily.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Dyer's Daily for Monday the 19th of November 2018. Oh dear. So, what's coming up on the show today? Well, we're going to be talking a little bit more about those Royal Philharmonic Orchestra albums and holograms. Why? But first, let's get some promos from some other podcasts that are out there. Take it away.
Was A Quiet Place inspired by Signs, It Comes at Night, and War for the Planet of the Apes? Was Ready Player One influenced by Avatar, Wreck-It Ralph, and The Last Starfighter? Is The Hurricane Heist more influenced by Sharknado or Geostorm? These are the kinds of questions my guest co-hosts and I discuss on my podcast, Piecing It Together. Every week, we look at a new movie and try to figure out what other movies inspired it, whether it's the story, the character development, tone, or even use of music. Every movie was influenced by something that came before, and we want to figure out what. Check out Piecing It Together on your favorite podcast app or check us out on piecingpod.com. You can also follow us on social media at piecingpod. Piecing It Together is a part of the All Points West podcast network.
There were columns of soldiers trying to get onto the small boats.
I shall have them here. That's a more frightening experience ever.
25 yards, ramp going down, now.
We did anything to get a couple of days sick. You used to put the finger on the line and let one of the lads hit it with a hammer.
We hurled ourselves upon one another with a fury that afterwards we could not understand.
Yeah, we crash-landed in the field.
Imagine the shock when the pick clangs against steel. You wonder if you've started the clock ticking. Fighting Through Podcast. Great unpublished history.
Dyer's Daily.
So, anyway, it's Monday, and let's carry on the conversation that we were having on Friday, where we mentioned the new release from the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra with Buddy Holly. I've had a few chances to have a listen to it further, and actually, it is just as good as I said the first time. But then when researching around, they had two Royal Philharmonic Orchestra albums released on Friday, the other one being the second of Roy Orbison. And I thought this was interesting, and I started looking around social media like you do. You know, you want to see what people think of it. It's kind of the opinion thing and how it works. And then I sort of looked on a couple of posts on Twitter, and there it was in front of me, the Roy Orbison hologram tour. And I thought, well, this seems very odd. And then decided, hey, you know, let's go and have a look on YouTube and see if this has been uploaded. And oh my goodness, I could not believe what I was seeing. Not because it was incredible, but because for some reason the media industry, the music industry, and the entertainment history as a whole has suddenly embraced the idea of holograms. Now, it's not really a hologram. That's the first myth. It's not a hologram. It just kind of a hologram, you think in kind of a science fiction-y term, is something that's floating there like an image. Whereas this is just a rear projection. Sometimes it's referred to as, is it Pepper's Ghost? Something like that is a really old technology that's being utilized here, and for some reason used to resurrect deceased performers. And if you don't know, this Roy Orbison hologram tour is basically a hologram of Roy Orbison with an orchestra. going around the country and the world, in fact, actually, because I think they've played in America a couple of times. But here's the kicker. As most holograms, it doesn't actually look like Roy Orbison. It looks like a tribute artist, Barry Steele, to be exact, who is a very popular Roy Orbison tribute artist. Because usually what they do with these things is they take a performer and they get a body double, and then they basically superimpose their face on it. And it never really looks like the person. It's always sort of computer generated. They did this a few years ago with Michael Jackson. Again, looked absolutely nothing like Michael Jackson. And the problem is, in that case, he was such a unique mover that any impersonator that tries to do those body movements to kind of resemble the real thing, it's just not going to happen. And the one thing that people were pointing out about this Roy Orbison hologram is that he moves a lot more in the hologram than he actually did in person, which again is a dead giveaway. And the thing is, if it's supposed to be some kind of illusion, you know, that you're actually seeing this person in the flesh, surely they should find a way of getting it word for word perfect. But that's not going to happen because the person isn't here anymore. And upon seeing this Roy Orbison Pepper's Ghost illusion thing as he rose out of the box, a little bit like they did with Tupac a few years ago at Coachella, I began looking around and I see this video that was basically Maria Callas. They've done a hologram of opera singer Maria Callas. Now, she died in the late 70s, and the thing is that with somebody like Roy Orbison, it's a guy with a guitar. That's quite easy to mimic. Not easy to perfect, but quite easy to mimic, even if it's not correct. Maria Callas, this woman was doing all these movements and stuff with her face kind of, you know, put onto this woman's face, and it was just weird. I just find it really odd, because a lot of the time, as is the case is that it was a recording of the singer. So you're basically paying to see a recording and sort of a computer-generated image that is mostly an impersonator. With, yeah, okay, you got a live band or a live audience there as well, but that's not really the point. I just find it really puzzling and slightly problematic, because like with those orchestra albums, which are all right because in some ways they don't replace the original recordings. The original recordings are still there, and I know that they should say the same thing about holograms, but if somebody says, hey, I saw Roy Orbison in concert the other day, you're not actually seeing Roy Orbison. You know, and nobody ever will, because he's been gone since about 89, so it's just really problematic. I don't really understand the fascination. I mean, I read a rumour that the Beatles were going to do that, touring with the holograms of George and John Lennon. And to me, that's just weird. You know, they had their time, they served their purpose. How about we get Harry Houdini back in hologram form? It just wouldn't work. None of these things actually work. You know, when sometimes you think, I've got the technology, so I'm going to do it, and it's one company that's behind it. Well, guess what, people with the technology? Some things don't need to be done. Although, there is one thing I can say about the hologram thing, is that whenever Americans have done it, it's been people like Roy Orbison or, you know, the guy Tupac or people like that. Who have we done in the past? From what I've known, when we've used that effect, we've done it to people like Morecambe and Wise and Les Dawson. So what does that say about us as a people? That we like to laugh. But the thing is, with a musical performance, you can kind of replace the background music and turn it into a live performance. I guess that's the bonus thing. Whereas a comedian, you're basically watching a computer-generated image playing back a recording of the person. And the thing is about comedy is it's in the moment. So I'm not quite sure where that works. Anyway, what do you think, dear listener, of of this whole thing, I find it really problematic. I just don't know what to think about it. Should we really be resurrecting the dead, as it were, and doing these things? Because a lot of the time, they don't have the input. You know, they won't have the input because they're not here anymore. Should we kind of just let them rest in peace, or should we be doing these things? I'd be interested actually to hear what people's opinions are on that, because I'm just confused. I don't really know why we bother. I mean, have you seen, there's a video out there of a Las Vegas show where they called them supposed holograms, but it was one of the worst things I'd ever seen. It basically looked like an old-fashioned school projector with images of the person projected over something. It was just weird. It's just really, really odd. And I suppose you could say, well, the tribute artist is something of a hologram. Yeah, but the thing about a tribute artist is it's someone paying tribute. It's not something that's claiming to be the real thing. You don't go and see Barry Steele and he's going, "Hi, I'm Roy Orbison." I don't think that quite works. Okay, occasionally you'll see something that's trying to look and act exactly, but only elements of it, not completely. They don't become that person. And even if they do in their act, they are not that person, and they never will be, because the original artist was unique. And I know this from being a little bit of a tribute artist to people. As much as you try and mimic, you can never get that original personality there. And that's why a hologram won't work either. Anyway, this has been Dyer's Daily. Thank you very much for downloading today. Please rate, comment and subscribe, and I shall see you on the next podcast, which will be released tomorrow. Be sure to check out the website southwavesaudio.co.uk. Always doing things on there. But from me, Jamie Dyer, I say bye-bye for now. This has been a South Waves Audio production.